Sanford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit Allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
The underdog is howling.
Sanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Week 4. The Bear, how are we feeling today?
I'm kind of bitter right now. Shocking, right? I just hate the San Francisco Giants. The San Francisco Giants were put on this earth to make me miserable. They're the bane of my existence. I shouldn't have to be sweating the Dodgers division bet. I shouldn't have to be sweating the Dodgers win total. Yet here I am.
High numbers. You're not. That's not usually you.
Oh, it's 103, and they despite being 5-12 in extra innings and under 500 in one run games, they still might get to 103. Still might get there. But the freaking Giants are 28-15 in one run games, and like in 19-5 in the last 24. I should not have to be sweating this, but yet I am.
But you are.
I am.
I can't start looking ahead to week 4 without looking back on week 3 because it ended, or actually, no, I think the San Jose State. Yeah, I stayed up for San Jose State. That ended a little.
How about that? How the hell did Haener stay in the game, man?
It is. I've been trying to categorize this right. And because I texted you, we were trading texts. I texted Scott after that game. Obviously, I know everybody's jokes. They're going to say they couldn't see it because it was on the Pac-12 network. I watched it. It's the best September non-conference game I've watched in a long, long, long time. It was incredible how both teams kept answering. And I'm watching the live line, and UCLA gives up a field goal. You know, they come out. It's 23-10 at half. They come out. They score a touchdown, 23-17. And I want to say around the seven-minute mark, Fresno is – live minus 180, 185. They kick a field goal to go up 9, and it goes down to 160. So I jump on that, and sure enough, here comes UCLA. And then there's a fourth down stop, and there's a ball given right back. And then the fourth quarter is just absolute bananas. I mean, the defenses were totally shredded, but just the ability of both teams to come back and forth at each other. I there was two times late I thought UCLA was going to be like, I thought they were going to pull it out. I really did.
And once they scored the final touchdown, I thought they would. It was over.
And Haener just kept coming down, and they found something in that defense where UCLA just had miscommunication and guys not in spots where they were and just kept going vertical. I thought Fresno did an unbelievable job at the beginning of that drive, getting the ball and getting out of bounds. They were so precise. A credit to their coaching staff and players for knowing the situation and having a chance late in that game and pulling it off. But yeah, I can't say enough about that game. It was that good. And I'm sorry to people that didn't get to watch it, couldn't or didn't. But that got us to a tweet from you that said, Fresno State, arguably the best Power 5 team.
Right? Well, I think you have to make that case, don't you?
I'm here for that case. I'm here for that discussion. Who else is in that discussion that you would consider?
Well, you have to remember that BYU is not Group of 5. I think Fresno, what they've done so far this year, beating UCLA on the road, nearly beating Oregon on the road, blowout win over garbage Connecticut. To me, that's more impressive than anything Coastal Carolina or Cincinnati has done. Indiana should, Cincinnati won the game.
Yep.
Indiana probably should have been up 21-0 in that game. And then the horrible targeting call on McFadden completely changed that game. But again, they went out, they made the plays when they had to, they won the game. Indiana imploded, and that's what they do. And Coastal Carolina did get that win over Buffalo, but struggled. I look at Fresno, I think Fresno is the best team of the bunch.
I totally get what you're saying. I need to touch on Cincinnati because I feel like it's a game that I spent too much time watching and I'm never going to get that time back. I need a break from watching Indiana football. I love Allen. I love what he's done with the program. But when you watch them in Penix and what they do offensively, I've never seen a guy just hold the ball forever. And it just, I think it puts so much strain on his offensive line. His receivers are obviously trying to win down the field. He gets his arm batted all the time on third down, like shallow routes that are just hitting the ground. And you said it, Indiana should have been up 21-0 in that game. And they weren't. And I mean, the place was rocking, and I give Cincinnati credit. They could have laid down and they kept fighting. Obviously, the targeting call did turn the whole thing out. I thought Dusty Dvorak calling the game was all over it.
He was great with that.
And mentioned it at, you know, coming out in the second half saying this is where the whole game turned around. Because I think it was 14-0, right? And then Cincinnati gets that late interception by Penix is just, it's unacceptable. You can't do that stuff if you're going to plan on winning these teams. So I give Cincinnati some credit for hanging in there. And I know the issue that lies ahead for them because when you look at Indiana and now you look at their schedule, I don't know if they're going to make a bowl. Cincinnati, to hang on that win as what we thought it might be, you know, going into the season. Now, you were on Indiana under from the start of the year. You called it saying last year I think was one of those, you know, fortunate seasons, and they made the most of it. But when I look at Cincinnati and I look at, you know, obviously what, you know, Notre Dame has Wisconsin this week, and then they go to South Bend to play Notre Dame. Notre Dame is as beat up as anybody on the injury front. And I just worry about Cincinnati's path where we thought they had these two games that were going to be monstrous. And now they don't look really enticing. And with this Fresno steam coming, it's a real interesting point you bring up about Fresno now because of what they've done. I still have Cincinnati there because I know the schedules are different and that's going to get bigger as we go. And then Cincinnati, you factor in a Dylan Gabriel injury. Like, it doesn't look great. I'm totally with you. I have them neck and neck right there.
And that's the thing. I think if you look at the Mountain West and the American, like, is the American definitively better?
No.
No. Wyoming looks like a really good team. They're undefeated. Utah State looks much better with the transfers and the coaching changes. San Diego State is what they normally are. Boise got screwed out of a win last week. And let's not even go on that. You can put Oklahoma State at the top of the list of the most unimpressive 3-0 teams in the country, but hey, they're 3-0. They've won the games. I would not automatically say that the American is better than the Mountain West.
Not right now. No way. There is that. And I, you know, Cincinnati, what they have ahead of them, and I think it's just fascinating to play out. And we talked, I brought up Fresno in the season win totals at the beginning of the year, and I said I love every single thing about them. Do they have enough to withstand the schedule? I love the quarterback. If you're looking for a head coach, DeBoer's got to be at the top of your list. So how fine-tuned his team is. You bring up the game in Eugene. I was on him that week and just brought up the scenario about an early game at Autzen. I understand Thibodeau got hurt and Fresno benefited from that. But it has been a jump start to the season from the boys from Fresno. So with that, I would figure you're going to give out UNLV plus the 31, right? Fresno, big letdown spot.
It's got to be UNLV or pass, right?
I see what you're saying, but I watched that Fresno-Iowa State game.
UNLV.
Ay.
Oh, they're awful.
They are.
I'm more leaning to pass than anything, yeah.
Okay, all right. I got you on a pass there, all right. Stay tuned. I have something to say that I want your take on.
Yes, sir.
I thought the atmosphere at the Swamp was better than Happy Valley last Saturday. Stop. What?
It was not.
Just because you were at Happy Valley.
Well, I was, but it was still better.
I don't know. Okay.
I think the optics of everything made it better too. Night game, dark, Everyone in white, loud.
Okay.
I'm not with you. Sorry. All right.
There's people out there that are with me, though. Do you think any less of Bama?
No.
Okay.
This is like a, like the one of the biggest, like, ridiculous hot take, knee-jerk reaction, overreact. Like, they went on the road, didn't play their best game, and beat a top 10 team.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to win every game by three touchdowns.
Do you
like Florida's? And by the way, and people, of course, the insecure Bama fans and everything on Twitter, all of it, like, what a job by friggin' Mullen, man. I mean, that guy playing with the quarterback can't throw the ball, who is not suited to be a pass first offense, using legs and the running, like, that guy can game plan, man.
Here's my take.
He hasn't beaten Alabama, so he's overrated.
Who
has beaten Alabama? Nobody beats Alabama. So that's the standard to be good. Oh, you can't be.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I will say this. Now, I know this Ole Miss thing is catching a lot of steam.
And Corral's already won the Heisman, haven't you heard?
I listen. I mean, they've been tremendous. You know, and they're as fun to watch as anybody in that league. But in back of my mind, I'm almost thinking like that was the time to get Bama, a kid making his third start all time at quarterback on the road in that environment. The linebackers from Alabama put in a predicament time after time by Mullen, whether it was the speed option, whether it was ride to side. They were not good, and I do not want to know what happened in that film session with them and old Nick watching that one, because it was not pretty watching that one back. And that's what I think. Like, that Alabama's not going to be that bad. I mean, guys running into each other when they're trying to blitz, defensive tackles going the wrong way and running into each other. It was not pretty and not succinct to a Nick Saban defense. So it is really interesting to come out. I do have Alabama circled this week because I do not think that much of Southern Miss. But when I saw our boy McElroy making some headlines in the Happy Valley with his comments about Penn State, and this
I missed this. I missed this.
Oh, he said, I believe he said Penn State would be the sixth or seventh best team in the SEC.
Sixth or seventh,
or maybe he said fifth or sixth. So with that is the conversation around Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And what you thought of
a terrible play call on fourth, like a terrible series there at the end of the game. You throw
play call or execution,
both, everything. It was almost like they called that play with one purpose: to get a pass interference call. Like, that had zero chance of succeeding.
Okay. With that, where do you have Auburn? Were you kind of where you expected?
Yeah, maybe a little bit better than what I expected. They can run, man. They can run the football.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get somebody, I think, in the SEC. They're going to be a problem, I think. I was a little bit more impressed than I thought I would, because I really didn't know what to expect off of playing Akron and Alabama A&M.
I love the look of them. They're just more buttoned up with Harsin in control. I think if Gus is still there, they get wiped with all that comes with that. So with that, the big one this week, obviously the ranked teams. It's 3:30. It's CBS. It's 7 A&M against 16 Arkansas at Jerry World. And this one's tough, man, because when I think about it, all I could think about is the A&M defensive line and what they've done, and being in Boulder and losing Haynes King, and them just saying, you're not going to get a yard. And then they come out and take care of business. Last week against New Mexico, they let Calzada throw it around a little bit, because Arkansas is not going to be able to push around A&M like they did Texas. And I don't think they expect to. But that's where it is to me. And when I look at it as a whole, I think it's got an awesome atmosphere. Obviously, it's 9 straight for A&M in this series. And you got to think if there's a time for Arkansas, it's this. I'm not sure about KJ Jefferson against that A&M defense. I would lean under in this game.
Yeah, this is my of 3 or 4 weeks, whatever the heck it is now for the season. This is my I hate this week. I do not see a ton on the slate at all. I would tend to agree with you. You got to remember though, these Arlington games have been weird. Yes. In this series,
like very weird.
Most they've all either gone to overtime or been decided in the final few minutes. I would lean towards laying the points because I agree. I think the best unit by far on the field is the A&M defense, and I know you have to respect Pittman and his ability as an offensive line coach to kind of coach those guys up and figure something out to slow them down a little bit. But I think with Spiller. And I think with the A&M defense, I would lean towards A&M in this game.
All right. And that's at 5.5 right now, for over under 47.5. Really, really big game with some following week implications.
Yes.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, yes. I think it is a game with significant game day implications. Wouldn't have said that before the start of the year.
No. You mentioned Fresno playing on Friday night. A couple I have circled just to get because Virginia football does it again last week and playing in just an absolute wild one against North Carolina. They host a team that we were both on last week, Wake Forest. I still don't understand the knowledge of the people that took Florida State last week.
I mean,
I want to touch on Florida State. This week too, because that's getting real stinky. But Wake Forest in a big spot here. Their defense is obviously going to be tested against that Virginia offense. The Virginia defense can't be worse than it was last week against Carolina. Do you have any lean for that Friday night game, Wake Forest UVA?
I don't. It feels like a spot for Virginia to come back and play a lot better. So I think my initial instinct would be lay the points with Virginia. Mm-hmm. But I actually do like a Friday game.
I do
and
too.
I'm not sure if it's going in the column yet or not.
Okay.
I kind of like Syracuse at home getting 6 against Liberty.
I'm right there with you. Why are they only getting 6?
Their defense has played kind of well this year. Their offensive line hasn't allowed nearly as many sacks. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Liberty's kind of been undervalued. The lines have been lower than what you would have expected in some of these earlier season games. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Remember what a couple of years ago, was it last year or 2 years ago when Liberty went on the road and was a big favorite, and didn't they lose to Rutgers or something? It was a game that they were a big favorite. I'm not sure. I kind of like the Orange defense there to kind of hang around and maybe not win the game outright, but at least keep it close.
I'm with you. I think now this is a 2-year anniversary, right, of the hospital bed game. That was right. Syracuse went to Liberty. I believe we got to get that on game day. That's that one. Hugh Freeze up from the press box. I do want to touch – this is also why I like Syracuse. I think their run game's legit. This Sean Tucker, he's got 367 yards, 6 touchdowns, averaging 7 yards a carry. That's the recipe when you talk about Syracuse's defense. Now, people are going to be like, oh, you only beat Ohio 26-6 week one. We didn't know Ohio was going to be this Ohio. I think, you know, Syracuse, with all that happened last year, getting up off the deck and going to the MAC and getting a win on the road – and I watched a lot of that Rutgers game. They battled, and we'll touch on Rutgers in a bit. But it was I've seen obvious improvement, but the combination of the defense and the run game, I think, keeps Willis off the field enough to keep this going. I think Syracuse has to have the lead, obviously, knowing what Liberty's capable. But yeah, I'm on Syracuse +6 in this one. for sure.
I think there might even be a six. I think I saw a 6.5 out there as well. Yeah, I did six and a half at a 6.5 at Westgate, 6.5 with FanDuel. Let's see if there might be 6.5 also. 6.5 FanGate, yes. FanDuel and Westgate, yeah. And then 6 in other places. So run and say hello to John Murray at the Westgate Superbook and ask him to take Syracuse plus 6.5.
Yeah. And give him a I Love Kicking Field Goals t-shirt.
Yeah. He loves
that. Interesting noon slate Saturday. I'll get this one out of the way. I watched Vandy against Stanford. Yeesh. Why? Why? I mean, you watch Georgia. You see Daniels look good against South Carolina. You say what you want about South Carolina. But Georgia looks good. And that's what I – you know, we were on a text thread and I was just talking about the Georgia defense. Everything they do when you compare it to Bama is just more crisp. And it's an attack style.
When was the last time you said that?
With what they get.
The Georgia defense is crisper than Alabama.
But I would think about laying the 35 there. Notre Dame, Wisconsin. I see it right now. Notre Dame plus 6, 46.5.
I see a lot of 6.5s.
Okay.
I see 6.5. Yep.
That's starting to make me think there because I have a question for you.
Yes.
If Jack Cohn is the quarterback for Wisconsin week one, does Wisconsin beat Penn State?
Yes.
I believe I think you're right. To me, it's Notre Dame's offensive line here. I mean, they lost obviously the left tackle. Did their best with different schemes and helping on how do you say it, Carl Laftis for Purdue?
Yeah,
he could play.
Hold George.
I believe they're down. Notre Dame's down to like a third string tackle, and that's what makes me think it's both sides of the line of scrimmage in this game. Can Notre Dame give Cohn enough time to take those to take? Because I mean, you can obviously win in the secondary against Wisconsin, as Penn State showed. They needed a couple big plays and they got them. I think Notre Dame has the goods to do that. But we saw, you know, McElroy on the call against Florida State, Notre Dame, and why is Notre Dame only going three down guys when Florida State's running the ball down their throat? If Florida State's going to run the ball on Notre Dame, Wisconsin's going to run the ball on Notre Dame with Chris knowing how good he is in the run game. I don't want any business of giving points in this game. So I guess I would take Notre Dame plus the point. I don't feel great at all about it. But I think they have enough to hang around. I expect a lot of field goals in this game, knowing how stout the defenses can be. But I just – it's a sit back and watch for me. I don't really have a side. I don't want to give that many points with Wisconsin, seeing how they haven't been – great offensively.
They've been terrible in the red zone. Yeah. I'm not sure it's automatic that they run the ball up and down the field on Notre Dame. You look at the red zone struggles, and what'd they have, 540 yards or something like that against Eastern Michigan, and they only were able to put 34 points on the board due to poor execution in the red zone again. Like I think it's an under game. I'd be looking at under. I see what four. I see some, 47, 46 and a half. We're looking at
46.5. Yeah.
So maybe you buy up, pay the tax and buy it, spy it up to 47. Get that number. I don't think Wisconsin is going to score a ton of points. And at the same time, you're going to give Jimmy Leonard and that defensive unit an off week to prepare for shambles of what Notre Dame's offensive line has been and Kyron Williams' inability to kind of run the ball. This feels like it could be a very low-scoring game, so I would be on the under here.
I think 24 points wins this game, no doubt. I don't see much happening. I Notre Dame could spring a couple of those runs with the speed they have in the backfield. That's what it is to me. Is obviously Wisconsin limiting that big play. Also at noon, LSU minus 2.5 at Starkville. This one is really interesting. Seeing what happened last year in LSU starting the year and getting, you know, handled by Mississippi State. Mississippi State coming off a brutal loss at Memphis last week. I really liked what I saw from Rogers throwing the ball. I know it's Memphis defense. LSU's defense did get back. How about Jim McElwain flying into Baton Rouge the day of the game and then flying out, not even spending a day, yeah, just getting in and out? That was interesting to me. I wish I knew that before the game. LSU here, when they obviously are going to have the guys in defensive line to get pressure. Mike Leach's system built off of guys getting rid of the football and getting them in space and making plays. You love your LSU secondary, not as much as a lot of other people. to me, it's Max Johnson. He's going to be facing a defense that basically is one of those teams that comes with something different almost. I mean, they adapt to who they're playing. And when you look at Max, I think he's a tough kid. I think he's got the guys to get the ball to. But I don't like this game.
I love this game. This was the first game that I saw. That, like there isn't a whole lot. Like, this is like the only thing I know that I am absolutely playing right now. And I love Mississippi State getting the 2.5. I'll play him on the money line as well. LSU going, since they won the national title in the role of favorite away from home, they're 3-3. So they're just kind of, actually, I take that back. I read the note incorrect. It's 3-3 as a favorite, not just a road favorite. 3-3 mm-hmm. is a favorite versus Power Five competition. So like they are
okay.
It's kind of an average team right now. I think the narrative is going to be like you brought up, the game last year got shredded. Oh, they're going to get revenge. Mm-hmm. Like revenge for what? They stunk on defense this year too. UCLA averaged almost 8 yards a play.
Yeah,
I guess beating McNeese State in Central Michigan doesn't mean all is well there. I think this defense has problems. I think the offense has problems. I think the way Mississippi State got screwed out of that game last week with the terrible call by the official and the down punt. I think you're going to see an angry team. You hit on Rogers. I think he's starting to get it. I think he's going to throw them all over him again, and I like the Bullies to get that win. So I'll take them 2.5, and I'll be taking the money line.
Okay. I mean, we talk about noon kickoffs and being ready when your team needs you. I'm sure
they'll be ready
in Starkville. I'm not sure how much they'll be ready in Chestnut Hill. Not really the big home field advantage for the old BC Eagles. As they get -2 for Missouri on the road here.
What a bummer about Djokovic, man. It sucks.
It's so brutal. So brutal.
Everything kind of lined up for them to
everything
to have like a 9-win year potentially, like, and to lose him. And I'm glad we were on that under last week too with that BC Temple guy. Was you talked about a no sweat that worked out well last week.
And that's what I was gonna say. Like I think that's a rallying cry here. Is BC, you know, going back to, I think, the way Halfley wants it, you know, relying on that defense. I know last week was Temple and Bazelak comes in with Coach Drink in Missouri, but I watch Missouri. Their offensive line is not good. Bazelak's good, but he gets hit a lot. And I would be scared off of hit laying those points on the road here. I think BC could do some things. I'm not touching it, but if that's an office pool game, I'd take that short home dog, as you did with Mississippi State. I would take with BC in that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure Missouri should be laying points on the road.
I don't know if that 59, that seems really high. Really
high. Yeah, like what's BC's ceiling, I think, point-wise with Russell? Like 24?
I was going to say – maybe with a defensive touchdown, 27, maybe.
That gives you 30-27. Exactly. Still goes under 59.
It sure is. That's interesting. I'm trying to stay away from over unders after my god awful call of Oklahoma and Nebraska over that. Nothing better than a missed field goal fest when you have the over. Like, you're just looking for something to get the ball back. One heavy favorite I'm not thinking about much and I'm just laying is Minnesota went to Colorado last week and won 30-0. In an early kick, altitude, the whole nine, they're laying 31 to your Bowling Green squad this week. At home, I'll lay the 31 with Minnesota. Just plain and simple. Early, how about the first time Utah State's going to be on CBS this week? 10 a.m. local. That's what they got to do to get on CBS. Utah State hosted Boise State. Early out there in Logan. Boise, man, I still can't get over last week. That was a 4-1 week hinging on a review that as soon as it went to review and you saw the replay of the ref blowing a whistle with his arms up, you knew it was going to be a catastrophe.
Yep. There was a lot of officiating catastrophe all over the country last week. Yeah, a lot of it.
It's not great.
No, not great at all.
How about your San Jose State squad going to Western Michigan without their head coach, Tim Lester?
That's an intriguing game. I'm looking forward to following along on that game. I'm not sure I'll be able to watch a lot of it, being that I've got to go from Chicago to Oklahoma. But, yeah, we're Western Michigan, especially off of the that nice win last week on the road against Pitt in the classic Pitt game. Beat an SEC team on the road, come back north of a double-digit favorite against a back team. That's what Pitt does. That's why Pitt's 6-6 every year. I would lean towards it. It's interesting. I would initially, the instinct would be take San Jose State and that running game and that defense against Western Michigan. But at the same time, talk about that travel. You got to go from San Jose.
I said that a couple weeks ago.
San Jose to Hawaii and then back to San Jose. And they got to go all the way across the country to Kalamazoo. Like, that's rough. You talk about body clock being all out of sorts, but I'd probably, if I had to play this game, this run one of my pool sheets, I think I would trust San Jose State's defense in this game to get some stops and the old veteran Nick Stark let him make a couple of plays, and I would take the Spartans.
That's a 2 Eastern kick at old Waldo Stadium in Kalamazoo. Do you want anything to do with Clemson given 10 on the road at NC State?
No, I want nothing to do with nothing in that game. typically, this would be a spot where I would be all over Clemson, given NC State's lack of success under Dave Duren against top 10 teams. But I have genuine concerns. I mean, maybe you play the under. I have genuine concerns about Clemson's offense. Mm-hmm. I think there are issues there with the personnel. They don't have slot receiver that we've talked about. Like, I think Shipley's kind of just a guy, a hype recruit, but I don't know. I think the offensive line has problems.
Clemson fans said he was the next Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why they said that. Mm. Imagine that. Because he's from the Charlotte area and one of the reasons. Yeah, imagine that. Yeah. Go figure. Defensively, they're fine. And I mean, you lose Tyler Davis now. Isn't he out now for regular season? So that's a problem. They'll still be okay defensively, but I think the quarterback run is kind of not of a threat.
No.
I think offensively they have problems, and I would be very hesitant on thinking Clemson gets this turned around this week and maybe this year. I wouldn't play this game right now, but I would actually take a look and consider maybe playing North Carolina to win the ACC. I know the Tar Heels are going to need help and need Virginia Tech to lose twice to get into that ACC championship game. But offensively last week, they're getting it together now. Obviously the defense is going to have to play better, but I think in a one game scenario against a team like that, I think Clemson could be in trouble in there, and I think they are already last in the pecking order in terms of the college football playoff, just based on how they've looked so far in addition to the loss. I mean, the loss doesn't bother me as much as they lost to one of the two best teams in the country. But I think if you're comparing them right now to Oregon or both SEC teams or Penn State or like Clemson's at the back of the line. Maybe Oklahoma's a little bit behind them just because of the. But I mean, maybe Oklahoma's a little bit ahead just because they're undefeated right now. But I think Clemson has its work cut out for it to get back to the playoff.
Yeah, I totally agree with there. If you were going to take, you still think Oklahoma has the lean? If you were going to take a team to make the playoffs, Clemson, Ohio State, or Oklahoma?
Of those three, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ohio State. I still
really?
Think Ohio State. Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I think you just woke up the producer with that comment.
No, I think they're still. I mean, the fact that they get Penn State at home, I think it's a big deal. The Michigan game could be a heck of a lot tougher and closer than anything that Ohio State's had to deal with in the last couple of years against Michigan. But I still think offensively, and that's another thing. I think as the year goes on, I think you'll probably see Ohio State continue to play a little bit more complementary type football in order to help that defense not keep it on the field as much. And that means for me, Trevion Henderson Heisman bet. He had 277, 279, whatever it was last week. I think they're going to continue to feed him. I think he's going to put up huge numbers. And I think Ohio State, the possibility of them going 12-1, winning the Big Ten, potentially in the Rose Bowl or the national championship in the college football playoff. I think that would put Henderson squarely in the mix, because if Georgia wins the SEC and goes undefeated, JT Daniels isn't going to win the Heisman.
No.
It's not going to be a Heisman winner from Georgia. Voters probably wouldn't vote for Bryce Young, who I wouldn't vote for anyway, off of a team, off of an SEC championship game loss. I don't think Spencer Rattler is a Heisman Trophy kind of guy. Matt Corral will have a loss or two. I think there were a lot of people a couple of years ago who kind of regretted their vote for Lamar Jackson after Louisville kind of went in the tank late in the year with a couple of losses. So I don't know. I think Henderson could be a really good Heisman bet right now at about 51.
Okay. You mentioned Michigan. 20-point favorites to a team that they had to go to multiple overtimes last year in Piscataway. We ran the vault last night, showed the 2006 game. First time Rutgers has been in a game with both teams 3-0 or better since that night in Piscataway. And now they're catching 20 in the Big House. Michigan's that good?
I'm surprised it's a little high. Usually when these games are higher than I thought it would be, that kind of clicks a little switch in my head, and I would certainly not take the underdog in this game when these numbers are higher than that. I think it will be Michigan or pass. I think Michigan's pretty good. I think they are running the ball very well right now. I know they haven't necessarily beat super teams, but Washington is a Power 5 Pac-12 team. Western Michigan beat Northern Illinois is terrible, but they're unlike previous years, they are moving the ball, they are scoring points, and they look competent and functional on offense. I think they are just committed to running the ball. I think the option teams are the only teams in the country that actually have thrown fewer passes than Michigan. I think Harbaugh thinks that they're pretty good, and I think all the changes that they made on the staff, and I was like, look, well, we're going to make a change, but this is what we're doing. I think that for the first time in a few years, I think they're all on the same page there. I wouldn't feel super great about it, but I would lean towards laying the points here, because I think there is a little bit of an appeal as well with the game last year and Rutgers and Chiano turning that program around and being 3-0 that – I could see Rutgers being a little bit of a pop underdog.
All right. I can't lay 20 there. I'd have to take the 20. But it's not a play for me. I do have 2 3-30 plays. I will have one of them is the Roadrunners, only catching 3 at undefeated Memphis.
Yep. Oh, I like them this week.
Memphis 17 straight they've won in the Liberty Bowl. I think that comes to an end. I think UTSA is that team. I think they have the talent. I love what Traylor's done with that program and building up from the – I mean, that thing was rock bottom when he took over. And they have – I mean, they got a belief there. And I understand, you know, yes, they went to Illinois and win. But that's a big deal for a school from Conference USA to still go do that. I imagine Illinois is not going to fare too well as they lost again last week. But I like UTSA. And speaking of Illinois, the team that beat them last week, Maryland. Maryland is in a brutal spot this week. Mm-hmm. All they're talking about is getting undefeated. Iowa coming in on a Friday night next week. And here comes little old Kent State, who I went back and watched, battled at A&M, battled at Iowa last week. And yep. I'll take the 14.5 with Kent State all day. I think Maryland wins a tough one, but I'll take the 14.5 with Kent State. That team puts pressure on you, man, offensively. And I know Maryland, really impressive because they've lost that game a million times the last couple of years. On the road, down 7 in the fourth quarter, in Champaign on a Friday night. They come back, they win. Great for them. I just think too many people are telling, you know, asking for tickets for that Iowa game, little, you know, forgetting that they got a game against Kent State. It was more than a formidable opponent. I will take Kent State plus the 14.5.
The only thing that I would say about, and you brought up Kent State playing well, is the cumulative effect of that non-conference scheduling where you got to go to A&M in the heat and face that physical running game and that defense. And then you go to Iowa and face that physical defense and that offensive line. Like that probably has a tendency to wear a little bit, I would think, on a team like Kent State. Maybe this could be one of those kind of you fall behind a little early, and I don't want to say you punt on the game, but it's like, all right, my kids are spent. Let's worry about getting to the MAC championship game and winning the league.
Yeah, it is a different dynamic. You bring that up with Maryland, with their firepower they have offensively. I've said it all year. They've got NFL talent at the skill positions. They really do. And, you know, A&M, you know, kind of a weird, you know, week one, you know, Haynes King's first start didn't play well. And then Iowa obviously is going to beat you with defense and strangle you the whole game. And that's what they did against Kent State. So it is a different dynamic there. I like what the Kent State offense brings to the table. I know they didn't score a lot of points against either of those teams, but going back and watching, they did some things that I think will be successful against Maryland. I said we'd touch on it. Louisville -2 at Florida State. Assess.
Stay away. All because the game is on the board doesn't mean you need to bet it. I mean, maybe in the next –
look at the father advice from the Bear.
Maybe in the next 3 days or so, I'll uncover something that will appeal this game as a possibility. But, look, I hit on it last week. We talked about Florida State. We all want to see Milton do well, but he's averaging like 5 yards an attempt. They are a mess on offense with turnovers, 6 turnovers last week. And now you're just off. It's going to probably be ugly at Doak Campbell.
Oh yeah.
In terms of the
2 weeks.
Yeah. It's already being thrown out. Oh, we fired Willie Taggart for a lot less. I think it's a bad situation down there, and maybe Louisville kind of salvaged their season last week and turned it around. I mean, they were on the verge. I mean, you get a gift like that. Unfortunately, Dylan Gabriel gets hurt in the process there, which sucks. Like now, all of a sudden, you're confident with your offense going on the road against a defense which has given up a ton of points this year, and an offense that turns the ball over at will, maybe giving your offense the ball in sure field position. This This feels like an over game to me, if anything, because I think the possibilities here are either A, Louisville wins something in the line of 42-24 or something like that. They win easily. Or you get one of those like 38-35, Florida State circles the wagons in the midst of all the hate down there right now. And you get – so I know over is probably the public side there. I think it's gone up from like 58.5 to
62.5.
already. Yeah. So you haven't gotten the best number, but I still think that's very doable in this game. And if I had to play one thing, it would be over the 62.
Okay. One smelly road dog. I texted you, I think, on Sunday night. It just doesn't make sense to me. Nebraska plus 5 at Michigan State. Michigan State, nothing but good things. And they should be getting nothing but good things said about them. Going to Miami and winning. Going to Northwestern and winning. But they should be given more here. And it just smells to me. I got to take Nebraska plus the 5.
Oh, I don't know how many people have reached out on Twitter about this. Why is Michigan State only a 4.5-point favorite over Nebraska? And I think it's because the power ratings see the numbers from the games. Northwestern might stink.
Yeah,
might really really stink.
Yep.
But they did win the game. An FCS game, so what? And then you're in a 17-14 game last week in the fourth quarter, and Miami turns the ball over inside its own 25 twice in the fourth quarter. So, like, it sees those things and realizes that while the final score of that game was 38-21 or whatever the hell it was, like, it was not a 17-point game.
Mm-hmm.
Miami had 4 turnovers in the game, empty red zone trips as well. So it sees all that, and I think they understand, and I think Nebraska has gotten moved up a click. And look, the Illinois game was what it was. It was a terrible stretch with turnovers and a stupid penalty. But since then, they played better, and they were in that game last week at Oklahoma. And maybe there is a thought now that Nebraska is kind of on the improve. And I'm going to wait on this game. For me, it's Nebraska or pass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hope this number moves to 6. I think it's probably going to move up a little bit because I think most people will be on Michigan State in this game. So I'm going to wait and hopefully get another half point or a point before hopping on Nebraska. And if I don't get it, then I probably still will hop it on Nebraska. But you're right. This is Nebraska or pass for me.
Oklahoma State laying 6 at home to Kansas State. Kansas State got a much needed win for another one of my season win totals last week against Nevada. They really brought the defense. I think it was 21-0 in the fourth quarter, but they're back to the old one with Will Howard at quarterback. They're back to the Bill Snyder. Let's just snap it and figure it out. But hey, if it gets wins, it gets wins. I will take away – I thought Oklahoma State showed me a little something last week. I didn't expect them to run the ball on Boise they did. They ran the ball really well. And I just feel like this is – same thing. I don't know why Kansas State – I don't think they should be – I mean, I get it. They beat Stanford. That wasn't the Stanford team. They beat. It's Stanford with McKee is totally different than West. But it's really it stands out to me. I don't know if I'm going to give Oklahoma State in the column, but I am leaning that way.
Really, going to lay those points?
Yeah, I think so. I shouldn't say. I'm leaning that way. I'm not sure it's official, but I don't. Kansas State going on the road, I believe, for the first time. I think Oklahoma State found a little something. Does Kentucky minus only 5 at South Carolina, Smell, knowing the success they've had against South Carolina.
Yeah, and I think that's another game that's probably gonna move up a little bit too.
Yeah.
And Kentucky hasn't really played its best football yet. So, that line is a little smelly. I agree.
I'm going to lay the 45.5 with Bama. I don't care. I'm not thinking twice. You'll be at West Virginia plus 16.5 at Oklahoma. You think Oklahoma finds it?
I don't know.
To me, it's Daigie at quarterback for West Virginia. I can't trust him. And now you got a night game in Norman. That's asking a lot. Can you get Letty Brown going? It's a stay away for me. If anything, I would lean Oklahoma. But
it's Oklahoma or pass for me. I think it's one of those things you hit on Daigie going on the road here. Oklahoma hasn't really been impressive offensively, and defensively they played a little better last week against Nebraska. But this is one of those games, I think, night, prime time, national TV. I think this is a chance for them to kind of get excited and show out some. But I do have concerns about Oklahoma long-term moving forward in this conference once they face better teams.
I'm with you. I love the skill guys. I don't like the offensive line for Oklahoma at all. You want any part of Akron catching 49 from Ohio State?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, I do. Yes. Did you know? Remember the Sports Center, Did You Know?
Yeah.
The show? Did you know? I'll do my voiceover voice. Did you know, dating back to 1996, there have been 13 favorites of at least 49 points in games between two FBS teams. Those 13 favorites went 1-12 against the number. And going back to 1993, there are just 2-16 ATS. The last team that was this big of a favorite versus an FBS team was the Ohio State Buckeyes in 2019, when the Buckeyes did not cover as a 52-point favorite versus Rutgers. Did you know? Brought to you by... I don't know who's our sponsor this week. We can give them a quick did you know.
There you go. We could give you 5 did you knows every week on this podcast.
Good. Yes, we could.
Carolina laying double digits at Georgia Tech after Georgia Tech almost beats Clemson.
Oh, what a great – like, it was one of those – it's like once they came back from the delay.
Yeah.
Did it ever rain there, by the way? I don't even think it rained, did it?
I don't know. I think it was just Dabo sweating in the fourth quarter because he had the coach. I couldn't tell if that was rain or Dabo was sweating a little bit, ripping the headset off. There's a late one out in Colorado, 8 o'clock Eastern kick, Florida Atlantic plus 4.5 against Air Force Bear. I'm going to lay it here with Air Force. I look at the numbers of what they rush for. I know Florida Atlantic played Florida, and they played Georgia Southern. I don't think much of Georgia Southern, even though it's my favorite uniform in the sport. I just think it's a bad deal going out there and getting a dose from Air Force. So I'm gonna lay the 4.5 with Air Force there.
I had nothing for you there. I got nothing.
All right, UAB Tulane, anything?
No. Now this is not a week where I like the whole okay. lot.
Anything in the Pac-12 late?
I'm curious about the UCLA Stanford game. I'm curious to see how UCLA's defense responds.
Yeah.
From that, Stanford has owned this series lately. Be very curious to see if they can put together a third straight. Really good performance on offense. Surprise UCLA is 4.5 here.
Yeah, Stanford's got 3 running backs out and some returners. The kid who's broken the big plays, Pete, at running back, is going to get the bulk of the carries. Now, he also returns kicks. I don't know how that's going to affect his workload. But, UCLA, that loss last year to Stanford was brutal. had no business losing that game. UCLA's offense is obviously, I think, the best that Stanford's going to play so far. And I know they played USC, but I think the world of UCLA's offense, I would lean towards, I mean, down to 4.5, I would lean there. Stanford's first home game in a really long time, but we know that doesn't matter. It's going to be a home game for UCLA. I was surprised at USC last week, going down 14-0. It's pouring rain sideways. They get Dart come in the game. He obviously goes down with an injury, but I give him some credit there, find something. I don't want any part of them giving 12 now with Slovis. It looks like he's going to be back at quarterback against Oregon State at home. Arizona State, just a not great effort.
What was that?
Not what, good, man.
16 penalties.
Yep.
Four turn, like, woof.
Go on the road. Crazy things happen. I will say I almost thought about giving out Cal +7.5 at Seattle against Washington, who got up off the deck against Arkansas State. I don't want any part of laying 9 with Indiana at Western Kentucky.
Oh, hell no.
And I was thinking about taking some big dog favorites and laying the 28 with Oregon against Arizona, because Arizona is as bad as
poop,
as bad as you could be.
Stinky poop.
Anything else? Kansas Duke, you got anything for me there?
You've got to lay it with
Duke, don't you? 29.5 point Wyoming as a favorite.
I wish I could go to that game. I want to take a week off of game day and stay back and go to the rant and go watch the Mustard and Brown boys.
All right.
Wyoming's a factor in that Mountain West.
They sure are. There's a couple people, too, that reached out before the year when we were talking Mountain West. I think they got some good numbers on them.
Yeah, I think we liked it. It was just kind of the schedule a little bit, and could the quarterback stay healthy? But yep. By the way, you mentioned Kansas Duke. Did you know? This is the 107th time in the last 108 games versus Power 5 teams that Kansas is an underdog. Jeez. They've been a favorite once in the last 108 games.
All right. It's time for the Big Mike Happy Recap, brought to you by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win. All right, for the Big Mike Happy Recap, I'll give you a Friday night Syracuse. I'll give you Minnesota laying the 30 or 31. UTSA +3. Kent State +14.5. Nebraska +5. Alabama -45. Air Force -4.5. Stay tuned to the column. I know people are always asking, too, about the column. It's on the chalk section, ESPN.com. It's posted Thursday late morning. If you want the official picks anytime you want them, they're there posted every week. Thanks to the people at .com that put that out for us. But, yeah, the chalk section, ESPN.com. Your Big Mike Happy Recap, sir.
Liberty, Syracuse +6. I am going to take Mississippi State money line and +2.5 against LSU. I am also going to be on the UTSA Roadrunners +3 at Memphis. And then I am going to wait and see with Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'm going to get it. I will take them, even if it doesn't go to 6, but I'm going to wait it out. And hopefully it will go to 6. And then I am going to take the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill -12. Yeah, -12 against the Georgia Institute of Technology.
That is at the Georgia Dome, not at on field for or on campus for Georgia Tech. Just to
which probably helps North Carolina quite a bit, because I'm sure there'll be people that will be headed on down now.
I am sure that is the case. Anything else?
It's not the Georgia Dome anymore, by the way.
Oh yeah, Mercedes-Benz.
Mercedes, thank you very much. The Georgia Dome has been imploded.
Producer,
I got nothing. I agree with Bear on the Ohio State line though. I just
okay. How do you feel about winning the Big Ten East?
I'm concerned right now. And one of the concerns is where I thought I could not have to worry about. And that's the defensive line's not even getting any pressure. That has me baffled.
Okay.
But like you said, I'm happy Penn State's coming to us because I don't want any part of going there for their wideout because like Bear, Happy Valley was better than the Swamp.
Whatever you guys want to say, I disagree. All right. Stay tuned, Bear. You'll be in Chicago, which should be awesome, and then headed to Norman. And we got some factors this week that'll play into where you'll be next week. Keep us posted.
We will.
Before the Bear takes us away, thanks again to everyone who listens, and be sure to rate, review, and follow. Plus, Organized Chaos is ESPN's newest podcast, hosted by former NFL coach Rex Ryan and his former Jets and Ravens linebacker Bart Scott. The duo will be reunited in this weekly podcast with new episodes every Monday that will provide listeners with expert insight and analysis on everything happening around the league, featuring trending stories from on and off the field. That's Organized Chaos. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Bear, take us away.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.